Good morning and welcome. Greetings to each one of you in the Lord's name. And we are blessed to be together. I saw a church sign that said, building closed, hearts open, but worship continues. So that's what we want to do today is just continue our worship and worship together. And I don't know if we could call this Bedside Baptist Church or not, but our topic today is love in reach. And Brother Greg talked about upreach. He defined agape, defined love as agape love. And it's a preference that God prefers us. And then and we in turn prefer God. And it's a two-way relationship. God's love for us and our love for him. And he gave some encouraging examples of Job and Joseph. He referenced Hosea, loving, trusting men, preferring God. And then Saul and the rich young ruler preferred themselves and not God. So Brother Greg talked about upreach, and Brother Caleb talked about love and outreach, and how we view how we can view our world as lost children. And he gave the example of Casey, and the lost children are walking away. And as the world walks away from anything godly, and people are lost, need to hear of a Savior who is inviting them to come back home and to reintroduce people to the Creator. And he asks the question, do I care about things more than people? So Brother Caleb talked about love as outreach, and Brother Joe, just want to insert this too. Thank you for sharing your clip on perfect love casts out fear. Appreciate that. But then today we're talking about love in reach. And as we think about that, I think of the song, The Love of God. And it says in the first verse, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. So we're going to be talking about the love of God. And even as the songwriter says, it's even more than tongue can tell. But we want to explore that a little this morning. So before we start, I'd like to open our time in prayer. So let's pray together. Father, we are grateful to be together, that we can worship you together, even in different circumstances here. And Lord, we just pray that thou would open the scripture to us, that we could behold wondrous things, that we could be renewed and encouraged through your word. And Lord, I pray that our love as individuals and families and as a church could grow. And Lord, that our love could abound yet more and more in knowledge, a knowing love and a discerning love. And Lord, we desire to love you, to know you, to walk with you, to be filled with you, and also to love others. And so, Father, just grant that, I pray. And we are thankful that Caitlin could be home and get home safely. Lord, we praise you for the time she's had over the last several months. And Lord, we pray for those that have had surgeries and accidents and even the adoptions. And Lord, we just praise you for your goodness to us and your love for us and for demonstrating that through Jesus on the cross. And so, Father, bless our time this morning for thy kingdom and thy glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we consider this topic, we could define love. And I know Brother Greg said that love and the word is agape in the Greek means a divine love, and it's or it could be a godly love, a love from God or by God, and it's through God to us. So we're going to be talking about that love, and it specifically relates to three goals within our church that we have written for InReach. And one is to create community. The second is to engage gifts. And the third is to equip for life and spiritual growth. So the verse related to create community is just a wonderful group. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works. And part of the purpose of our get-togethers and our small groups and our potlucks and our fellowship is to provoke and to urge one another to love and to good works. And, you know, that's part of our mission even this morning with this talk. Secondly, to engage gifts. Romans 12, 6 through 8 talks about the gift of communication and speaking, the gift of service, the gift of teaching, exhorting, giving, the gift of administration, or the gift of mercy. And Paul said that not to neglect those gifts, but to use those gifts. And following that passage of Scripture in Romans 12, 6 through 8, Romans 12, 9 says, let love be without dissimulation or undisguised, or it's the real thing, to be filled with love, even as we use our gifts within the body. And then thirdly, to be equipped for life and spiritual growth. The verse is Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, and God gave different gifts for the perfecting of the saints. And it says, until we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the third goal is just to equip for life. So today we want to look at first the source of love, and then secondly the definition of love, and third some practices of love. So let's turn in your Bible to 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. And I'm turning in my Bible. Okay, let's read this together. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Again, this tells us where love originates and the source of love. And it clearly says love is of God. Verse 8 says, and if he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. If we struggle with love for others, and if that's an issue, we need to take inventory about our love for God and how his love will impact us. Another source of love is found in John 13, 34 and 35. If you want to turn there, John 13, 34 and 35. And that scripture says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. You know, and as we look at that scripture again, we are reminded in 1 John that love is from God. God is the instigator and the foundation and the giver of love. Here Jesus says, I'm giving you a new commandment that ye love one another as I have loved you. And that's not a new commandment, it's been a commandment since the Old Testament that we love one another. But the new commandment is to love the way Jesus loved us. And we can see that all men are our disciples as we love one another. And we just received our March 2020 silver lining, and I glance at the articles in the issue on the front page. And the first article was called Loving as Jesus Loved. And I thought how appropriate and how timely, and I read through that, and it was just a tremendous article. It says in that article, it's only out of the vast reservoirs of Jesus' love can we draw strength to serve and love others as he loved us. read that article. You'll be blessed. It's very, very appropriate and very challenging. So our source of love, as we see from Scripture, is from God, and then it's from Jesus, as we are to love as He loved us. Now, what's a definition of love? And because love is so important, and there are many misconceptions and distortions of what love is, God devoted an entire chapter to clarify what godly love looks like. So let's read 1 Corinthians 13 together. Very familiar, but you know, very timely words of God describing the definition of Christian love and what love is all about. So let's again start verse 1. We'll read these 13 verses together. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. You know, as we think about these descriptors of genuine love, I mean, it's just outstanding, and it's encouraging. You can sense in our heart that it's godly. It's from God that, you know, love suffers long. Love is kind. It looks for ways to be kind. It doesn't envy, doesn't vaunt itself, not anxious to impress. It's not puffed up and proud, does not behave itself unseemly, but it has good manners. Does not seek its own, doesn't pursue selfish gain and selfish advantage, is not easily provoked, or is not touchy, thinketh no evil, doesn't keep account of those things done to them that were wrong, does not rejoice in iniquity, or doesn't gloat over wickedness of other people, rejoices in the truth, is glad when truth prevails, and bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And we see the just the description of genuine love, and it's such a beautiful, beautiful description, and from the hand of God. So we looked at the source of love. We know it comes from God, and we're to love as Jesus loved. And we see the definition of Christian love, just a beautiful description that Paul gives in 1 Corinthians. And then we want to talk about the practice of love for the next few minutes here together. So Proverbs 19:22 says, what people desire is kindness, or what people desire is unfailing love. And that's really true. What we desire in our hearts is unfailing love. And God made all people, and He loves all people, and all people deserve to be loved. God made man his own image and loved the world and demonstrated his love to us, that while we're yet sinners, that Christ died for us. But, you know, then we have to stop and think, why do we sometimes think it's optional to love people that are in our close circle of our friends? They may be people who think a little differently than we do, or may not be like us, or may not agree with us in all things. But love is not an option, but it's a command. Jesus says we're to love one another. And I love the passage in Matthew 5, 44 through 48. So if we could turn there. Matthew 5, 44 through 48. Or maybe you could swipe there, as some probably are doing now. Okay. Jesus talking. He says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so?" And then verse 48, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Love means accepting one another and not being judgmental toward them, even as our Father in heaven loves, and even as our Father in heaven would be perfect. And love means, part of this equation for love means forgiving one another. Ephesians 4:32 says we are to forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. And our desire is to act like our Father, which is in heaven, and to show others our Father's love. And if we struggle in a relationship, please remember the words of our Lord here in this passage. And he says, to love your enemies, in verse 44, love your enemies. And that could be those that you find difficult to love. It's not necessarily a political enemy or a national enemy. It could be someone close to you, those you find difficult to love. So love your enemies. And how can you do that? Bless them that curse you. Bless them in your thoughts or even in your words, or look for opportunities to even do good to them, even when you don't feel like it, or even if they don't deserve it. This is the formula that God gives to love those who are difficult to love. So do good to them, and then finally pray for them. It just is it's a prescription that works. It's a formula that God gives that we know will work for those that are difficult to love. And I think of the song, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." Do you recall those words? "How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure." That's the love that the Father has for us. And I just appreciate that he's not selective. Jesus is not selective. You know, he loves those that are evil. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So we're not just to love those that love us. We're to love the world as God has loved the world. Okay, another suggestion, another practice of love is that the disciples, as you remember in Luke, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. And we should ask the Lord maybe to teach us how to love. God can teach us how to be more loving, more sensitive to each other, more patient, more kind, more forgiving. He can show us how to be less sarcastic as we pray, and asking, or less judgmental. And I love to pray Philippians 1, 9 through 11 for myself and for my family, for my friends and for my church. And it says, Paul says, in this I pray, that our love would abound yet more and more in knowledge and discernment. Just a beautiful prayer that we could grow in love. And if that's the greatest commandment, to love God, if the greatest commandment is to love God and to love our neighbor, then the greatest possible sin is to be unloving and full of spite and revenge and to be downright hateful. And I think it's important to look to the cross to see how Jesus demonstrated his love and forgiveness for us by dying on the cross. And Jesus saying, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. So I feel another way to love each other, even in our own fellowship, is to get to know each other better and be accountable to each other and to ask a brother or ask a sister for some things to pray for them. What are some goals or objectives or prayer requests that you could pray for them? And when you do this, it develops a love for them as you pray for one another and you enter into the challenges and the victories of each other's life. So part of praying for each other would be to get specific requests and pray for those and keep track of them and look for answers. It's very, very encouraging then when God provides answers. Once I heard of an acronym with three letters, and I think these are helpful for me as I keep them in mind. Love, if you spell it L-U-V, first, L would be listen. And then second, U would be understand. And then V is you validate. And this, if keep those thoughts in mind, to be a listener and try to understand what's being said, and then to validate the other person. And then this just really goes a long way in solving conflicts and increasing our love for one another. Another practice of love is to see the different motivations behind love. Sometimes people will say, I will love you if, I will love you because, or I will love you regardless. So the first one, I will love you if, like maybe if you tell your child, you know, I'll love you if you clean your room, I'll love you if you obey, or I'll love you if you do this. Well, that's a conditional love. And it's not God's motivating love. Or I'll love you because. You might say to someone, think in your heart that I love that person because they're beautiful, or I love that person because they're rich, or that person is popular. That's the basis of the love. But really the key and the love that is God's love is I will love you regardless. And I like the story that I read one time about Vernon Davis. He's a tight end that played for the San Francisco 49ers. He played in the NFL, and he was a star tight end. And he was raised by his grandmother, and this is what she said of him. She says, I don't like his tattoos. I don't like his football. I don't like his dreads either. But with all my heart and soul, I love him dearly. And he, you know, there were things that she didn't appreciate, but she just loved him dearly. I like that story and those thoughts. Now, another point that we can make about love is we sing the song in hymn 137, our love shall not diminish, nor fade, nor wane away. We sing that song, and that really is our goal. But as we look at Revelation 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, where John writes to the church at Ephesus, I think there's some key things that he writes in there. And if we let's turn to Revelation 2, if you would, please. Revelation 2, 1 through 7. And John says in verse 1, unto the church of Ephesus, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, thy labor, so they were busy, thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, for my name's sake, hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. And we'll stop reading there. But I'm very interested to see Ashley and Joe's first love for each other. I mean, they're very delighted to be together, and I'm real thankful for that. You know, but that may change a little 40 years down the road, and they may lose a little of that first love. And what is the prescription of God's word? You know, it says it's possible to lose some of that first love, to kind of stray away, to kind of slip away from what was our initial love. And if you look at this verse in verse 5, it says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. You know, if you remember those things that have changed in your love relationship, it could be with God or it could be with others. Maybe it's not as fresh or lively or intimate as it was, and possibly we've lost our first love. So God said, just remember from whence you're fallen. Remember what you used to do, that intimate time that you had with me, God could say, or that, you know, that special time of prayer and that special time of reading the word together, possibly have slipped from that. Then secondly, repent. Just ask God or ask others for forgiveness and do the first works. You know, those first things were very meaningful to you as you maybe first became a Christian, that first love and that special relationship that you had as you first came to Jesus and you gave your heart to him, and how that you, as I mentioned before, you know, had an intimate prayer time and maybe a meaningful time in the word, and there was close fellowship with other believers, and you loved to share Jesus with others. So remember your first love and remember how you treated others with love and respect, and maybe when you're first engaged and maybe as you first became a Christian. Let me share another point, and that is to ask your children or spouse when they feel loved. Once when I asked Edie this, she told me 6 things. Now, I'm not always successful at fulfilling these, but at least it gives me a target to shoot for. This is what she said. She said, smile at me, compliment me, ask my opinion, hug me or show affection, confide in me, and the last one, she had to say this, tell me I'm right. So anyway, again, as I said before, I'm not always hitting the target, but at least it gives me something to shoot for, and that's been helpful for me to keep that in mind. Another thing that I read, a small article that I read one time that continues to come back to my mind at different times when I talk about love or think about love and thinking about even about marriage. This article written by Dr. Stephen Covey says, At one seminar, I was speaking on the concept of proactivity when a man came up to me and said, "Stephen, I like what you're saying, but every situation is so different. Look at my marriage. I'm really worried. My wife and I just don't have the same feelings for each other we used to have. I guess I don't love her anymore, and she doesn't love me. What can I do?" "The feeling isn't there anymore," I ask. "That's right," he said. "And we have 3 children that we're really concerned about. What do you suggest?" "Love her," I replied. "I told you the feeling just isn't there anymore." "Love her." "You don't understand. The feeling of love just isn't there anymore." "Love her." "You don't understand. The feeling of love isn't there." "Then love her. If the feeling isn't there, that's good reason to love her. But how do you love when you don't love?" And this, his response, I think, is very, very meaningful. "My friend, love is a verb. Love, the feeling, is the fruit of love, the verb. So love her, serve her, sacrifice, listen to her, empathize, appreciate, affirm her." I think of that often when we talk about love, and when we consider love, how important that is to just to keep loving, and that love is an action word, that love is a verb, and love would be serving and sacrificing and listening and understanding and validating and appreciating and affirming. Two more things, and I'll be done. I remember one time when I was talking to Jackie Huber, and she was talking about her father, and she related this story about her father, and she asked her father, who's Bob Grimm, if there was anything he'd like to tell her before he went into surgery. And she thought, if there's anything he'd like to share with her at that time. And he smiled and said, "No, there's nothing." Then he kind of got a faraway look and he said, "Just love." And Jackie says, those two words have been a guiding force for her, just love. And I think that's just such those are tremendous words just to keep in our hearts and keep in our minds as we think, just love. And it wasn't, Bob passed away soon after this, and those words kind of ring in Jackie's heart and give her direction. And the final story kind of rings in my heart and my brother's Phil heart. Let me just share this story with you. The first weekend, and thank you for your prayers, and as Edie and I were in Japan for the 5 weeks. But the first weekend we were there in Japan, we heard that my sister-in-law, Stephanie, had a heart attack and we should pray. So we did. We prayed, and, you know, you kind of get the idea that things will go okay, that they'll go to the hospital and do what they need to do and get her home, and she'll be back to normal soon. But it was soon that we heard that she had passed, and it was unexpected, and it really was difficult to believe, and it was very shocking. And Stephanie was known as a wife, as a mom, as a grandma, a daughter, a sister, an aunt, a friend, and a follower of Jesus. And she was abundantly faithful and fiercely loyal, and she was sweet and sassy at the same time, and had an inexhaustible support for those that she loved. So on the Saturday before she passed, and this is some things that ring in my brother Phil's heart, the Saturday before she passed, and it was like late Sunday night or early Monday mornings when she passed, but she said this to him, and maybe a little bit out of the blue, but she said, "Phil, you're a good man. And then she said, you know, you're my best friend. And then thirdly, she said, I'll love you forever. And those words, Phil just goes back and recalls them, and they kind of ring in his ears and will be some of the last memories of Steph. And Edie and I were to get a flight. We were able to get a flight back to Atlanta to attend the celebration of Steph's life. And then we were able to fly back to Japan. But anyway, Phil had shared that their 40th, they were planning to, which their 40th anniversary was this summer, and they were planning to take a trip to Greece. And Phil said, well, instead of going to Greece, Steph went to heaven. And of course, that's for her gain, but that's certainly for our loss. And so I guess that kind of rings in my heart. And as we love our family, and as we love our friends, and as we love those around us, let's not be afraid to tell them that, you know, to share with them, even as Stephanie did, those wonderful words. So, as we consider love and inReach, may we be encouraged to love as God loved, to love as Jesus loved, to understand that God has recorded what he feels is important, and he's defined love, and then there's many ways to practice that, and we gave some examples, and I trust they'll be an encouragement to you. And as we wrap it up, I'd like to pray, and we'll be finished. So why don't we pray together? Father, thanks for this time. And Lord, we thank thee for the word. Father, it's so encouraging, and it's our foundation, and it's our strength. And Lord, it's our direction and our guide. Father, we are so thankful for that. It's kind of our North Star, Lord. It's how we live, and we're thankful for thy word and even the explanation of thy love for us, Lord, and Jesus's love for us, and in defining love to be patient and kind and not jealous and not boastful and not proud and not rude and not selfish and not to become angry easily and thinking no evil and rejoicing not in iniquity but rejoicing in truth and bearing with things, believing all things, hoping all things, enduring all things. Father, what an awesome description, and we know that comes from your heart just because it's so divine. So we thank you for that. And Lord, just I pray that, Lord, even for our church, our family, ourselves, our circles, Lord, that you would increase our love for each other, that you'll help us to see how we can love each other in better ways, Lord, that we can even maybe remember from whence we are fallen and repent and do the first works. Lord, give us grace, give us strength. We know that of ourselves we can do nothing, Lord, but with your help we can be successful. Thank you for this time, and Lord, bless this day, bless our families, and bless each one, and for thy kingdom and thy glory. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.